This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Nationwide, no Kings protests are planned today, which House Speaker Mike Johnson calls hate America rallies. They love America, but hate some things happening, says Public Citizen Co-President Robert Weissman.
People are worried about the illegal firings that are endangering our health and safety. People are worried about arbitrary efforts to cut off people's health care. People are upset about the illegal deployment of troops. People do not want to see masked agents abducting people from our streets.
On day 18 of the government shutdown with no end in sight, businesses in the nation's capital are hurting. Khalid Pitts co-owns Cork Wine Bar and Market in the heart of D.C.
A lot of businesses are going week by week to see what's going to happen. Can we make payroll? Can we pay our vendors off?
Evacuation in southwest Alaska after a hurricane force storm with more than 1,000 people airlifted out of towns, virtually washed away. Israel says a tenth hostage's remains have been identified. This is ABC News. Welcome news for this American aircraft maker.
The Federal Aviation Administration said Friday it will allow Boeing to produce more 737 MAX airplanes, increasing the monthly limit that it imposed after a door plug blew off an Alaska Airlines jet that the company built nearly 2 years ago. The FAA says Boeing can now produce 42 MAX jets per month, up from 38.
ABC's Dave Packer. Big shakeup for the British royal family. Prince Andrew is giving up his royal title, Duke of York. The timing may be linked to the Jeffrey Epstein case and Virginia Giuffre's upcoming memoir. She's the woman who has accused Prince Andrew of having sex with her as a teenager. ABC's Marcus Moore.
He will still be known as Prince Andrew, a title he was given at birth, but his ex-wife is no longer a duchess, just Sarah Ferguson. And the royals also personally distancing themselves from Prince Andrew, saying he is not invited to Christmas.
ABC's Marcus Moore. The book was written before Giuffre's suicide earlier this year. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump still thinks he's a game show host at The Apprentice. Heard this great perspective about Tiffany not getting Trump's endorsement. If Josh Schumann feels like he's got to take some shots at Tiffany, which might weaken him, but it makes him look better to Trump to maybe get the endorsement, this is what Trump likes. He doesn't have any incentive to endorse Tiffany as long as he can keep playing him and Schumann off each other.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For Civic Media News, I'm Charlie Pittman. Wednesday was White Cane Safety Day. The day has been around for 60 years and recognizes people who are blind or have visual impairments. It's also a reminder to motorists to stop 10 feet away from people carrying a white cane.
In Wisconsin, motorists are required to stop no shorter than 10 feet from a pedestrian who is in the roadway, who is carrying a white cane or using a service animal.
Denise Jess is executive director of the Wisconsin Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She herself is blind and carries a foldable white cane. She says reminding drivers to take extra caution benefits all people.
We don't want drivers running over pedestrians, period. But vulnerable pedestrians who really can't see you coming need that that extra protection under the law.
Wisconsin's white cane law comes with a fine. And even though it's not against the law, Jess says it's also not helpful to honk.
But honking is confusing because we don't know if you're honking at us. You know, we have no way of visually verifying. Are you honking at us? Are you honking to give us information? Are you honking because you're irritated that you had to stop? There's no way to understand what that honk is. So while it's not statutory limited, it's just it's just confusing. We don't know how to interpret it.
Just says care and attention while on the road doesn't only benefit folks who are blind or low vision. It also benefits you as a driver.
It's so critical to our safety and your well-being. You know, if you were to hit one of us, it would change your life as well, and we wouldn't want that to happen.
October is also National Pedestrian Safety Month. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. More news anytime at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for Matt Mayer on air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and highs in the low to mid-70s. Rain is likely tonight, a low around 46. Sunday, windy with a high around 59. Northwest winds gust to 30 miles per hour. On Monday, partly sunny and a high around 66.
It's 67 right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and today I have the absolute pleasure of sitting down with my friend, Dr. Pat McBride. Pat is the former Dean of Students at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health, which is how I met him. But interestingly, that is not what we're talking about today. It came to my attention a couple of years ago that Pat was also the first bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, like, when the Brewers came back to Milwaukee back in 1969, and that is just the very tip of the iceberg, my friends. Pat McBride has lived Wisconsin sports history in a way that nobody else can claim, and I'm not just talking about the Brewers. His surprising and inspirational story is chronicled in his autobiography, The Luckiest Boy in the World, which is, by the way, much more than just a story about sports. So I asked him to hang out today to sprinkle his world champion good luck. He was the ball boy for the 1971 Milwaukee Bucks and the Green Bay Packers team that won the first two Super Bowls. He has mojo. And there is nobody more needed at this moment in Milwaukee Brewer history to make a little magic, share some delightful stories about Bob Uecker, and to show us all why baseball in Milwaukee is so much more than just a game. I honestly have no idea where this conversation is going to wander off to, but no matter where it ends up, it's going to be entertaining and wonderful. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much, Kristen. I appreciate it, Dr. Lierley. It's great to be on your show.
Oh, listen, I'm so glad you're here. And you, when I was thinking about the Brewers, so we're actually taping on the first day of the NLCS, and enthusiasm is high. I know.
Yeah. Go, crew.
Go, crew. Yeah. But yeah. You were there at the very beginning. So let's start there. How does a kid living in Wauwatosa become the first bat boy for a Major League Baseball team?
Well, you know, I was a typical struggling teenager, not sure what direction to take in life. When I opened up the Milwaukee Sentinel one morning, and there was a contest to be the first bat boy for the Brewers, 25-word essay contest. And of course, Milwaukee had lost the Braves. So I got an idea. And my idea was to write this essay about how to bring baseball back to Milwaukee. So I wrote, I would like to be a bat boy because I would be a small part in bringing baseball back to Milwaukee. I would hope the spirit I would show would be contagious.
That was exactly what you wrote. It's like a 20-word essay.
25 words right there. That was my essay. And Eddie Matthews, I didn't know this until actually recently when I was digging through my files. And Eddie Matthews was the judge of the contest, and he picked my essay out of all these essays, and I became the first bat boy for the Brewers. So I get this letter in the mail, congratulations, you're in, come on down. So Next thing I know, I was picked. They moved us around a little bit the first time. So the first game I worked was an exhibition game against the Cubs. And I was picked to be in the visiting locker room that day to be the bat boy for the Cubs. And it was the 1969 Cubs.
Oh, my gosh.
Which famous team who collapsed at the end of the season, which scared me this year. And, you know, so I put on this wool uniform with a Cub on it, everything. And I get everything ready. They taught me how to be a bat boy. They how to carry the bats down and put them in the right order and the helmets and everything. And I go down there and I'm waiting with my mitt. And I'm going to tell you, the world is really different from inside a locker room and inside a dugout, because I've been a stadium rat for a long time and running around and just waiting for an opportunity to meet big leaguers. You know, I met Henry Aaron, I met Eddie Matthews and Warren Spahn and all my heroes. And all of a sudden I hear these spikes clicking down the tunnel. And I'm not kidding you. My hair still stands up on end when I think about this. And a guy sticks his head around the corner of the dugout and he said, "Hey, son, it's a great day. Let's play two." And it's Ernie Banks.
Oh, my gosh.
And he says, "Hey, son, do you want to have a catch?" And I'm playing catch with Ernie Banks. Next thing I know, County Stadium's field.
Wow.
And then fast forward, I get to, you know, work these games. And then Bud Selig gets the Brewers, and I get a call to be the first bat boy, you know, with the, because I had worked really hard. And I get to be bat boy for the Brewers. He buys those Seattle Pilots. They moved to Milwaukee. And my God, it was amazing. And I'll tell you, the players, special breed of people, because they were just so grateful to be on this expansion team, you know. And interesting, a lot of people don't realize, but that 1970 Brewers team, who'd been the 69 Seattle Pilots, were the team that they wrote a really famous first tell-all book in baseball history called Ball Four. And it was a very fun, funny group of guys. When you work in the locker room with them, you learn a lot about them. And I got to go on a road trip with them, and I got to meet Bob Uecker.
How old were you at the time?
15.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. I learned to swear.
I definitely want to talk about Bob Uecker, because I think I read his book, Catcher in the Rye,
yeah.
W-R-Y, when I was like a 12 or 13-year-old girl, and I learned a lot.
Yeah.
But let's save Uecker for a little bit later, because I want to know, what was it like? I mean, you're a 15-year-old kid. What was the energy like in the city of Milwaukee? They'd been without a team for a little while. This team was there. Were people excited about it, or were they really still kind of mourning the Braves? Or what was your perspective?
You know, it was fascinating, because there were two groups of people. There were people that just couldn't wait to see baseball again, and they came out right away. And the Brewers that first year were actually not really that bad. They were a pretty good baseball team. They had some really good pitchers. They had a few good hitters like Danny Walton and Tommy Harper. And they had a guy named Lou Kraus, a really good pitcher named Marty Patton. So they were pretty good. And people started, Milwaukee's faithful to baseball, as we know. Look at right now. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I'm going tomorrow night. I'm going to see Peralta versus Ohtani.
It's going to be so good.
So anyway, but they showed up. But there was a group of people, the old faithful Braves fans, that would show up, and they would make paper hats out of the newspaper. And oh, my God, they had scorecards. Those people did refuse to show up. They would not forget baseball. And I remember, I think it was in the second or third year of the Brewers, they decided Bud Selig would bring the Braves back every year for an exhibition game. And that's when I got to meet Henry Aaron, and Eddie Matthews was on the team. And it was amazing, you know, but people would kind of shun those games a little bit because it was the Braves. But Bud Selig was really clear about, you know, we're forgiving and we're moving on. But there was an old timers game. They decided to have an old timers game, and they brought back the old Braves, Joe Adcock and Warren Spahn and all Billy Bruton and all these guys. And they were in our locker room. And I was like, this is incredible, you know. And those people that hadn't forgiven, Joe Adcock was there, they showed up and they introduced the old Braves one by one. And I was looking in the stands, and there were all these elderly people dressed like they would have been for a Braves game when I was a kid. And there were thousands of them. And they were cheering, you know, louder for each one as they introduced these players, you know, Billy Bruton, Warren Spahn, you know. And apparently Joe Adcock was like the ultimate Brave. I don't know what it was. But when Joe Adcock came out and he was limping, he was from Georgia. He owned a peach farm. I'd driven by it one. And people started crying. I mean, I looked in the stands and there were people weeping. And I thought, okay, that was when it changed. And people started showing up in much greater attendance. And baseball was forgiven. And the Brewers kind of took off. And then that was, I think, the year Robin Yount showed up. And when Robin Yount showed up, by this time I was 19. And I was in the locker room. I'll never forget this. And I remember the equipment manager of the Brewers said to me, hey, do you have a friend that wants to work in the locker room? You know, I need another guy and everything. And I said, sure, I got this friend of mine. He's a really good baseball player. And his name was Rick Naples. And he eventually became the equipment manager of the Brewers for a short while. He was the assistant to this guy. And he was a dead ringer for Robin Yount. There were many times Robin Yount didn't want to talk to the press. He was actually a very shy guy, still is a shy guy. And he would hide in the trainer's room, and this guy would strip down to his shirt and his baseball pants, because he was one of the ball boys on the field and stuff. And he would sit down in Yount's locker, and he pulled a Bull Durham and would answer questions just like, yeah, it was rough game out there. Yeah, I kind of tough time against those pitchers. And he would just do baseball quotes. And the press would not know any different. I'm not kidding you. He did it multiple times. And Yount was cracking up. But Yount was a year younger than we were.
Uh-huh.
And he would say, hey, where can I go to catch a beer? And, you know, he would hang out with us and stuff. Because he was just the kid.
The kid.
You know, the kid. And he was, you know, brought up too early and all that, but he pulled it off because he was such a mellow, straightforward guy. And he, wow, man, what a human being that guy is. He's still the same.
You see him now. I went to the Bob Uecker tribute game just a couple months ago, and he was there on the field, and he started talking into his microphone, but he was holding it upside down, and it was a corded microphone. So I at first thought, how could you not know you're holding your mic upside down? And he just started to talk, and then he looked startled, and he turned it back around, and he said, I learned that trick from Uke. And I thought, oh, that's just perfect. But it didn't seem like the shy Robin Yount that I think we were also used to.
Two stories about Yount. Number one, in that movie called Just a Bit Outside, which I recommend everybody watch before this series, I'm telling you, it's on Amazon.
Sorry, so good.
It's so good. And I'm watching and I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. It's so good. And when Robin Yount cried, that was it. Robin Yount never cries. I'm just telling you, Robin Yount does not cry. That's not him. And you know what he cried about? It wasn't about losing that series, because he was really upset about that. He cried a little bit about that later in the movie, but he cried because they couldn't bring Milwaukee a World Series championship.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh my God. That's how great a human being he is. With all the narcissists there are and the egos in sports, that's Robin Yount. And number two, when Bob Uecker died, he called Usinger Sausage and said, hey, I know how important you was to you guys, and I want to be your spokesperson, and I don't want anything for it. I want to just do it for Uecker. Wow. That's Robin Yount. That's the kind of person he is. Robin Yount, I'm telling you what, man, they don't make them like that guy. And the spirit of this baseball team, you know, here we are. We're one third the payroll of the Dodgers. You know, the Dodgers pay more in luxury tax for their team than our payroll. And if there's ever time that David beats Goliath, this is it, man. I'm feeling the mojo, the spirit of. Whew.
I feel it too. I feel it too. It feels like 1982 plus. This team, yes. The spirit, Euchre, the whole thing. I want to get back into that after we come back from this short break. I'm talking with Dr. Pat McBride. He was the first bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers. And when we come back, it's Euchre stories, what Bob Euchre means to the team and all of us, especially right now. Friends, you are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media app and the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I am talking with Dr. Pat McBride. He's usually known as the former dean of the medical school at the University of Wisconsin, or a famous researcher, or a mentor. But today, he is the first bat boy for the Milwaukee Brewers, and we're talking baseball, Brewers all the way, facing the Dodgers in the NLCS. And Pat's got some stories, especially stories about Bob Euchre.
You bet.
Yeah. So he was always that guy.
I'll tell you what, the Bob Euchre you heard on radio, saw on television, saw on Johnny Carson, that's the way he was 24/7. I never saw him different. I spent a year working in the press box a summer, you know, and that's what he did to the guys up in the press box. In between innings, he'd pick on the reporters. I mean, you know, he'd be like, hey, where'd you get that tie? You know, there's some mustard on it, you know? I mean, he was always working these guys. And, you know, I have a couple of unbelievable stories. I remember I was 16, I was a bat boy, and I got, severe tonsillitis, and I had to have my tonsils taken out. And I was at St. Mary's Hospital in Milwaukee, and I've got their game on, and I'm listening. And all of a sudden, Bob Euchre goes, hey, I want to give a shout out to our bat boy, Pat McBride, who's in the hospital, and he's getting his tonsils taken out. We wish him well, and sure hope he doesn't bring the tonsils in a jar back to the stadium. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm like, I can't believe it. You know, I mean, what kid gets a shout out from Bob Euchre? You know, I was freaking out. I'm in the hospital. I'm like croaking because I can't. And then he says, you know, I know he likes to fish. So when he gets back, I'm going to take him out fishing. And I'm thinking, okay, this isn't going to happen, you know. But when I get back to the stadium, He goes, hey, I know, let's go out fishing. So he takes me out fishing in his boat with a couple of his friends. And we get this coho salmon. And I take it home. And I don't know, you know, I know how to fillet a fish. But I just like, fillet this coho. It's the best salmon I ever tasted in my life because it's a Euchre salmon. But he was like that the whole time on the boat, telling stories and doing Euchre things. That's just the way he is, you know. And another time, they always used to take every kid working on the team would get one road trip a year, every clubhouse guy. That was our reward for our hard work. And we were out in Los Angeles. I was over 20 by this time. And the players were great about taking us out and everything. And we were in a nightclub in Los Angeles with my friend Rick. And we're with Yount and Gantner and Molitor and all these guys. And we're all standing around. And Euchre, of course, is telling stories. You know, every generation of Brewer players, you know, up to now, Yelich and all those guys, they love Pat Murphy. They all talk about Euchre, right? Mm-hmm. He did this for generations. So we're standing around, Euchre's telling stories, and all of a sudden he acts like somebody offended him, you know, and he goes, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Out he storms, you know, he storms out of this place. We're like, oh my God, what happened? Euchre never gets upset. So we say, should we go after him? What should we do? So the group, you know, starts heading toward the door, and we ask the doorman, where did Euchre go? Did you see a guy with silver hair going? Yeah, he said, yeah, he took off, you know. And, oh, my God, you know. All of a sudden, this taxi cab pulls away from the front of this nightclub, and there's Bob Euchre laying under it. And he jumps up, and he goes, hey, I was just kidding you. I was there. So he had set the whole thing up. Just, boom, and we're back in. We're drinking beer. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy does this all the time, you know. Like, what? You know, Johnny Carson's most, you know, favorite guest. This is Euchre. And this is why, you know, he kept the team loose and he was always in there, you know. I mean, at 90s and they're pouring champagne on people, you know. It's the Euchre magic. This is going to happen.
Euchre magic is like the McBride magic. It is Milwaukee born and raised and mm-hmm. invested and perpetuated. Mm-hmm. I mean, that love comes from the core.
Yeah. South Milwaukee, Cudahy, Pewaukee, Mequonago. You don't see that anywhere else. This is Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's trust it.
Yes, it's so true. And, you know, the other night after they won the series and advanced, there were fireworks. They lit the Hone Bridge, gold and blue. It is the excitement, the enthusiasm. I'm up in Green Bay. And, I mean, look what I'm wearing. You know, the same thing that you're wearing.
Trust it.
Trust it. There's so much excitement. And, you know, a friend of mine actually from Virginia who grew up a Pirates fan texted me this morning and said, we got to win this one for Euchre. And I said, how do you know Euchre? And he said, well, when my game would be over, I'd turn on your game because he was so entertaining to listen to.
Yeah. I had a former resident that was working with me, you know, and he came down to visit. He was the first resident that did research with me, you know, and he said, turn on the game, turn on. He's from Minnesota. He said, I got to listen to Euchre. I always turn on Euchre. So we turn on the game and we don't hear anything. It's just silent. But we hear a little noise from the crowd. You know how you always hear like
A little rumbling.
They just hear a little, and all of a sudden you hear Euchre, you know, going, you know, as I was saying, you know, and he begins to tell this three inning story, you know, where he tells a story and he's like, yeah, you know, and there was Mabel from Mequonago, and I was telling her, and he goes, well, we'll be right back, you know. And then after the break, he comes back and he goes, you know, strike two. And then, you know, she went to the Hortonville bar where we were giving the tickets away and the story goes on. And he's like, oh my God, this is like heaven.
This is why you can't just watch a game, because you need the Euchre filler, because that's the thing that keeps you entertained when the game is crawling.
The best, you know. But here's what's great. It's Wisconsin, you know. You don't get that kind of local flavor, the humility, the love of baseball, the truth, you know, about a guy that batted 200 and, you know, got a series ring. But here's what as an example, you know, look at Andrew Vaughn. Mm-hmm. The guy was on the trash heap. He was sent to the minors. He didn't have any confidence in himself, but our team saw something in him, you know, and they scouted him. They brought him up here, and he said, "It changed my life." That was his quote.
He changed the course of the Brewers. And I want to talk more about that. And I want to talk about your personal history and how the Brewers may have saved your life.
They did change my life.
They sure did. We're going to take a little break, but when we come back, more of that. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Whether you are optimizing your sports performance or coming back from an injury, helping you achieve your goals is a team effort. Richland Hospital Sports Medicine.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Nationwide No Kings protests are planned today, which House Speaker Mike Johnson calls Hate America rallies. They love America, but hate some things happening, says Public Citizen Corps President Robert.
On the Badger Sports Network, from Learfield. This is your home for Wisconsin football.
Still loose. The Badgers cover it up. Touchdown, Wisconsin. There it is. And this game is underway with a bang. One more time. J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Wisconsin. Hello, Russell Wilson.
On Wisconsin.
70 yards, catch and run. Lee Evans, his fourth touchdown reception today. Record-breaking run.
Badger football is on the air, brought to you by American Family Insurance, making life better by protecting your dreams. U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. U.S. Bank, equal housing lender, member FDIC. And by UW Health Sports Medicine, treating the Badgers, treating you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
And welcome to Camp Randall Stadium on a beautiful 71-degree day here on October the 18th. Matt, it was 364 days ago that Wisconsin last won a Big Ten game. That was on the road at Northwestern, a day very much like this weather-wise.
Yeah, it was.
A gorgeous day. We had a coach jump in a lake that day. There's been no lake jumping since as we get to this. We welcome you in. Last time Wisconsin beat a top-ranked team, everybody remembers it. Your call got underway with a bang. They knocked off the nation's top-ranked team on October 16th, 2010. That was Ohio State. Debbie Guillory took the opening kick, 97 yards. Scott Tolzien, 13-16 for 152 and a TD. John Clay and James White combined for 179 yards rushing, three TDs. A guy named J.J. Watt played. It was a different time. I was watching the highlights, and J.J. Watt dominated that game defensively. Times are different, but it's fun to recollect because there are a lot of Rose Bowl reunion guys here this weekend, and that's what we have right now are some memories.
Yeah, a couple of things, Mike. In that game against Ohio State, Wisconsin in 2010, Wisconsin, you know, they had the Gilreath return. It was 21-0, and you thought, boy, this is just going to be a this is going to be a rout. It got to a 3-point game. Yeah. It was 21-18, and the Badgers had an answer in this. Running back, this dude named James White made a play, and then Blake Sorensen gets the interception to seal the game, and it was just a magical night. But you're right about J.J. He was a game wrecker, which he was quite a bit in his time here, but certainly was against Ohio State. This is a special weekend, and it was a ton of fun last night. This is the Rose Bowl Champions Reunion Weekend. So the players and a lot of the coaches on the 93 team, the 98 and 99 team, I mean, coaches like obviously, you know, Barry was there holding court, and Jim Huber, John Palermo, Henry Mason, Jeff Horton, Brad Childress, among those who were here in the coaching staffs, and and a lot of the players from the championship season. I saw Terrell Fletcher, Lamar Shackerford, Reggie Holtie, and Scott Nelson were a pretty good safety tandem in that on that 93 team. And then the 98 and 99 guys. So Tausch and I, we'll have a little bit of fun here today talking about that. And if we'll see how everybody held up last night, we might be able to bring up a player or two from those teams. Brooks Bollinger is in town again this weekend. But you always appreciate it in the moment. And I think with each passing year, you appreciate it even more because that was a special time and a lot of really good dudes who viewed this place as something extra special. They played for the W in a big way, and they made everybody proud.
Well, I'm at to that point. Nothing is promised. Nothing is guaranteed. And right now, this has been a very tough week to be a Wisconsin Badger after a 37-0 loss to Iowa. Now eight straight Big Ten losses. You're close to it, obviously, on a daily basis. What has this week like been like?
Yeah, it's tough. There's no denying it. You know, the players put on the brave front. The conversations with them have been as upbeat as they can be under the circumstances. You know, they know there's this awesome opportunity in front of them, but they know it's going to be awesomely difficult to try to stay in the game here. It's, you know, it's one thing, Mike, and when the Badgers, you know, over the past several years when they were really good, they weren't quite able to beat Ohio State. They haven't beaten them since that 2010 game. They're 0-10 since. They were an 0-4 against Penn State. So there's, you know, at the time there was the but they were beating the teams they're supposed to beat. I think what's the really difficult thing for fans to swallow now is to not be competitive against teams that you have thought to be in or below your weight class. Like a Maryland comes here. Certainly Iowa is very respected. We've talked about the rivalry. But to get boat raced in consecutive years, that is a really tough pill for fans to swallow, for donors. And you can try to imagine what it's like for everybody in that locker room, players and coaches, public knowledge, what they put into to the Iowa game. And to make mistakes like they made and to get behind 17-0 early, they're just not built to rally from stuff like that.
It was a all-encompassing deal a week ago, but it started with the quarterback. So let's talk about the quarterback position as it plays into today.
Well, Billy Edwards, again, is out. He will not be. Their availability report is out officially. Hunter Simmons and Danny O'Neill, they both took a lot of reps this week. All signs indicate it'll be Hunter. Simmons getting the opportunity. Now, does that mean that we could still see O'Neill? Because, I mean, you asked Luke the question after the game last week. Did you think about it? He was asked again in his news conference. It's one of those, like, you know, maybe you might do that. But, you know, problem, let's be honest with both, they've make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you just can't gift-wrapped points. And that was the disappointing thing about, and again, with Hunter, he hasn't played much in his college career. But he didn't make a lot of mistakes in the Michigan game. The interception that occurred probably shouldn't have been. There was a pass interference that wasn't called.
Yeah.
But, you know, he gave as much as I think you could realistically expect for someone making his first career start at this level. But then last week we saw mistakes made that we have, quite frankly, seen from quarterbacks here over the last few years. And it goes back to that old story. You've got them. They made Michigan earn it a couple of weeks ago. Iowa didn't have to be really good to dominate the game. You're playing a team today that you make them earn it. Because if you start throwing it around like they did last week, or, you know, the mistakes of the Maryland game, it's going to be worse than 37-0. So you've had, as Paul Christ used to always say, give yourself a chance to have a chance. We'll see if they can do that today.
Yeah, and one of the things that we've always asked about, and this program over the last couple of years has had a hard time answering this, is their identity. Like, I wanted to be tougher up front and establish the ground game this year, but you're kind of doing that in year one, year three of the staff, but year one of trying to reestablish that. Identity is one question, but the fans are wondering what to be optimistic about. What do they look at?
Yeah, it's a perfectly fair question, and the lack of an identity, there's, again, it's not just one thing, probably not just two things, but a couple that are real is Fickell's had a healthy starting quarterback about 30% of the time, about a third of the time. That's real. The offensive line has been beaten up. It's a line shuffle every week. You know, hopefully Jake Renfro can play in consecutive weeks. He's not on the injury report, so that's a good thing. They do have some other guys out. So it's hard to maybe establish an identity when you're shuffling your personnel around the way they are. But you know, they don't have the depth, and there's a lot of reasons involved with that. So what are you optimistic about? You certainly, you take guys like Christian Allegro, I think, who was putting together a really good year. I think they are better up front. I know they got pushed around by Iowa, but I think there's more size. There's just, you know, better players, I think, more depth in the interior of the defense. In a lost cause last week, you know, there was some reason for optimism for someone like a Dylan Jones. He ran for 69 yards. If you give him some room, he can do some things, but all too often this year he's getting hit as soon as he gets the football. They're playing the best defense in the country today, so we'll see if somehow, some way, they can carve a little space and Dylan Jones against the defense that's better than anybody, if he could do some things. Because if he can, you would imagine there's another reason to be optimistic, if not for this year, moving forward.
I'm going to visit with Paul Keels, the voice of Ohio State, in our next segment. But what you have seen of this team, Ohio State, this year, their fan base likes to complain. And I'm going to ask Paul what they're complaining about now, because they are just truly impressive. They are the best team in the land.
Joshua Perry, who played at Ohio State, was part of the national championship team. He does stuff for NBC now, and he's on a lot of other platforms. He put it really well, and it's not just specific to Ohio State, but other programs where it's natty or bust. And he said that is a miserable place to live. And really, that's where and they won it. They won a championship when Perry was there. And he understands that that's how fans feel. It's like in the old days, win the Big Ten, go to the Rose Bowl. Well, the Rose Bowl's a quarterfinal game. In Ohio State, long ago, the expectations were much higher than that. So, but the thing is, Mike, there are people who believe this Ohio State team right now is better than the one last year. Defensively, it's lights out good. I think offensively, it's really good. They don't run it maybe as well as they would like, but the quarterback, Julian Sayin, appears to be growing up fast before everyone's eyes down there. And it doesn't hurt when you have a couple of receivers like he has, and Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, to name two. Those guys are. The only thing keeping Smith at Ohio State is that you can't go to the NFL until you're 3 years removed from high school, because he'd be the first receiver taken.
Well, and I'm going to ask Paul about this as well, but when you talk about national championship or bust, even on their game notes, they list their schedule as 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
They list all of the rounds of the playoff and the national championship.
Yeah, but you go back to the miserable nature. Ryan Day, as a head coach of Ohio State, his teams have lost Big Ten games five times. Four of them are against you-know-who. Yeah. So the week of that game when they go to Ann Arbor to play Michigan, that will be a really, really big narrative. But credit to him and his team, and I know the payroll is the payroll, but the world was collapsing when they lost to Michigan last year in Columbus, and all the post-game, the flag planting and all of that. And then they ran the table. So it kind of, we saw this in the National League Championship Series. When the best players are healthy and playing at their best, they're really, really hard to beat. We just saw that with the Dodgers. And people saw that with Ohio State last year. And so far, through the first half of this season, they're seeing a really, really talented team playing at a high level.
You may talk about it later, but let me ask you, because it happened after we finished last week on Sunday, your reaction to the Penn State decision on James Franklin.
It's the nature of the business. I think I would say be a little careful what you wish for, because they won a ton of games, didn't beat the best of the best, and then they lost a couple of games to teams that they usually don't lose to. Franklin's teams are not known for that, but they obviously felt it was time. Be careful. If the resources are all in place and if they can get the right person there, then more power to them. I think it's one of the top jobs in all of college football. But we're also in an era, Mike, where it's like, if you're going to do it, do it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Penn State did, and it was a really interesting decision.
And then Indiana reacted by locking up their guy for the best money, biggest money.
And we wonder, you know, some of us talking casually, at some point, is there going to be a market correction with coaches' salaries? Well, not in Bloomington, Indiana,
in Bloomington,
where they have decided all in, we want to be great at football, and it seems to be working pretty well, at least over the last year and a half.
And then Matt Rhule's name came up, and they didn't show up last night at Minnesota.
And his record against ranked teams James is worse than Franklin, yeah, so go figure.
Matt, very good. It is Wisconsin and Ohio State kickoff just after 2:30. Still to come, we'll have our minute with Mac, check in on the Badgers and the NFL. We'll chat with Jesse Temple from Badger Connect and go down on the sidelines with Patrick Herb. But coming up next, we'll talk with the voice of the Buckeyes, Paul Keels. That's next. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
It's game day in Wisconsin, and nothing says game day like a Clements brat or hot dog sizzling on the grill. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics, Clements brings you authentic, handcrafted flavor that's been a tradition for over 70 years. Whether you're tailgating outside Camp Randall or cheering from home, make every bite a winning play with Clements. Make it memorable with Clements brats and hot dogs. Pick up at your local store today.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on the Packers. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey Badger fans, Jesse Temple here. With Badger Connect, I'm telling the stories no one else is. The inside moments, the behind-the-scenes access, the features that take you deeper into Wisconsin sports. And while you're reading, you could be winning every month. We're talking premium tickets, signed gear, even once-in-a-lifetime experiences with your favorite Badger teams. Support the sport you love, get content you can't find anywhere else, and win big. Join us today at BadgerConnect.com.
Preparation is the key to success on game day. And like your favorite Badgers on the field, you need to be ready right from the opening kickoff. Cenex has your pregame routine covered. We've got your salty snacks, your sweet treats, ice-cold beverages to wash them down, and fresh tanks of propane to fire up the grill. Fuel your fandom at your local Cenex station. Badger pride, powered locally.
This is Badger football.
Tight pocket. Down he goes. Inside the 40-yard line.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Whether you are optimizing your sports performance or coming back from an injury, helping you achieve your goals is a team effort. Richland Hospital Sports Medicine is happy to be a part of that team and reminds you to take care of you. Whether you're running, playing a pickup game of basketball, or going for a bike ride, take care of you by drinking enough fluids, wear proper clothing, and time your workout to avoid extreme heat.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
In at Camp Randall Stadium, I'm Mike Heller. The Badgers have lost 10 straight versus Ohio State over the last 15 years. Common theme, Buckeyes offense. They've averaged 35 points per game in that streak. The Buckeyes defensive coordinator is Matt Patricia, and Ohio State is number one of the nation in scoring defense at 6.8 points per game. Fewest rushing TDs allowed, that's one. And red zone scoring percentage. So they've been pretty good. We welcome in the voice of Ohio State, Paul Keels. And I'm just curious what your view has been of this team that you've watched now midway through their season.
Well, Mike, the thing that jumped out at us right away was the defense, but you had to take some things into consideration. Texas was still kind of finding their way. Grambling State, which was a late add when UConn decided they didn't want to come to Columbus, and they were obviously very overmatched. And Ohio University, their starting quarterback got hurt early in the game, so they weren't as offensively as efficient as you would think. But when you saw Ohio State go on the road and do what they did against Washington, a Washington team that had been playing well, doing what they did against Minnesota, few cracks against Illinois when they went to their up-tempo defense, but Matt Patricia has come in and molded well with the other defensive coaches. And the other part that people weren't sure about was this defensive line that lost four guys to the NFL. Well, the guys that are starting were backups, but they played a lot last year. So it wasn't the drop-off that maybe people were concerned about.
When I ask you about the Big Ten, let me juxtapose two programs. Indiana, which you won't see this year unless you see them in a Big Ten championship game, and Penn State, which you'll see next. Two programs that are opposites in history, and now they've kind of flipped, and Penn State makes a coaching change. What has your reaction been to what those two programs have done so far this year?
Very politely put, Mike. Opposites in history. You know, the thing that we've seen with Penn State, not only just that they've had trouble beating teams in the top five, they don't have the explosive receivers that you saw them have in the past, guys like Deshaun Butler, Jahan Dotson. They just seem, for whatever reason, and I know they tried to address that in the portal, they haven't had that, which I think kind of retarded Drew Aller's play a little bit. Indiana, on the other hand, you saw what Kurt Cignetti did last year, especially bringing so many people in and so many that had played for him previously, but also mixing in the guys that had been at that program, some other key additions. And by a lot of accounts, it sounds like Fernando Mendoza has far exceeded what Curtis Rourke did for him last year at quarterback. So the Indiana thing has been seemingly a lot of just a change in a mindset that it wasn't, okay, it's Indiana, it's always been the way it is, we just want to get to a bowl game. And the Penn State thing just seems to have been an evolution that's continued with not being able to win big games. But, you know, maybe, Mike, the biggest thing with the Penn State thing, they let the Oregon loss filter down to the last two. And that's what everybody hopes to avoid when they lose a game.
You're familiar with Luke Fickell from his time at Ohio State and at Cincinnati, for that matter. I imagine you are also surprised in what has not happened here, because when he was hired 2.5 years ago, I think people thought this is the next step, evolution in Wisconsin football. How surprised are you that it's kind of gone the opposite way?
Very surprised. Luke is a guy that probably doesn't get the credit he deserves for what he did in his 1 year as head coach at Ohio State in 2011, really navigating a difficult situation. But, you know, the quarterback injuries, obviously, factor in that. I'm sure all of you have talked about trying to get away from the running game the last couple of years, now trying to go back to that, how that's kind of not been what was ideal, but very surprised that it's not gone the way it has. And obviously injuries have had a lot to do with it.
What do we look at today? I just ask on your side. Matt and I have talked about what this game looks like for Wisconsin. What does it look like for Ohio State?
Well, the thing that Ryan Day has done, has always made it about what's next and made it about, and his comment is a bit, it's about us, meaning it's about his team looking to continue their effort and improving. They scout the opponent. They're familiar with the personnel, but they make it more about themselves. You see, no matter how well they've played, and you rattled off the defensive stats, one of Ryan Day's big phrases lately has been, the issues are always there. And that means looking to continue and improve, looking to make sure they're doing what they need to do with the anticipation and hopes of a long season, the anticipation of being in tough matchup games. The concern about what happens if they find them behind late in a game and having to do that. So that's been a lot of it. I think the offense has not had the explosive plays that we saw last year with the two running backs they had. But the offense has kind of grown under letting this first-year starting quarterback and Julian Sain get his feet wet. He's shown what he can do with his accuracy and his quick passing, quick release, I should say. I think everybody knows what Jeremiah Smith can do. Carnell Tate is right behind him with the ability that he has. And Mike, the crazy thing about it from last year to this year, the offensive line, you know, they had a couple of season-ending injuries midway through last year and allowed guys to step up and give them depth that they're now enjoying this year. So that's allowed them to, I don't want to say game manage, but it's allowed them just to do whatever they need to do offensively. But this defense has just been suffocating.
Fans love to complain. What are they complaining about in Columbus?
12 noon kickoffs. they're tired. There was the end of last season, the end of the regular season. It was like 5 or 6 of the last straight weeks, they were all 12 noon kickoffs. And, you know, it's a lie, but people don't think they can tailgate and drink that early.
Well, we can teach them a little.
Yes, we could.
And then the other thing I noticed, I look at the game notes, there is an expectation with Ohio State football. And in the game notes, They list all the way through the national championship game on the schedule on the front page of the game notes.
That mirrors what's in the coach's office.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate a chance to visit with you. Have a great call
My
today.
Pleasure. Always good to see you, Mike.
And we continue working. We'll come back in our Minute with Matt coming up next, presented by Evans Transportation, customized logistics solutions to keep you moving. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Every day across Wisconsin, outstanding educators change lives, lift students up, strengthen communities, and shape brighter futures. The Outstanding Educator Program, brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics, honors those who go above and beyond. Know someone who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
Folks, the clock is ticking. Are you ready to get in the game? While your neighbors are stuck on the bench with a leaky shed, Cleary Building Corp is out here throwing down monster dunks in custom buildings. Whether you need a sports facility, storage for all your gear, or just a winning space to hang out, Cleary's dream team designs and builds it like the pros they are. Get in the game with Cleary Building Corp. Call today, and let's build a winner.
Looking for seed that performs? FS Envision Seed Corn and FS High Soy Soybeans deliver top-tier performance, field-tested reliability, and trusted local FS expertise. Your local FS crop specialist is here from planting to harvest, helping you get the most out of every acre, every season. Seed that performs, support that delivers. Ask your local FS crop specialist about FS Envision and FS High Soy, or visit fsc.com to learn more.
Few things can match a rockin' fifth quarter after a big Badger victory, but a pregame tailgate bash at Camp Randall with a grill full of Usinger sausage is awfully close. Hi, this is Robin Yao. A parking lot filled with the delicious aroma of Usinger sausage cooking up on a crisp, cool fall day is a Wisconsin football tradition. Nearly 150 years of making Wisconsin's finest sausage guarantees you've got the best. The elf on the label means quality on your table.
All across the Badger State.
All the way! Touchdown, Wisconsin!
This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Landowners manage a variety of assets every day, and the trees on your property are one you shouldn't take for granted. Since 1936, Meister Log & Lumber has been buying logs and standing timber throughout southwest Wisconsin. Their professional forest management team can help you make the best decisions for you and your trees. Call the professionals at Meister Log & Lumber today at 608-524-4414. That's Meister Log & Lumber, serving Wisconsin's forests since 1936.
Dependable, quality, friendly, and superior customer service. When you hear those words, you think of Walsh's Ace Hardware. Walsh's Ace has quality products like Craftsman, DeWalt, Milwaukee, Stanley, and Irwin. Have you checked out the Ace Paint Studio? Amazing products from Benjamin Moore to Clark and Kensington. The Paint Studio has everything you need to make your home project turn out just perfect. Visit your local Walsh's Ace store in Muscadet, Richland Center, and Ace of La Crosse.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
Wisconsin and the top-ranked team in the land, Ohio State, will kick off today just after 2:30. Among the storylines all weekend long, the Badgers are celebrating a Rose Bowl champions reunion. The teams from the 1993, 98, 99 being honored here all weekend long. Time now to hear from Wisconsin Athletic Director Chris McIntosh. Here's Matt LePay.
Our Minute with Mac is presented by Evans Transportation, customized logistics solutions to keep you moving. Hall of Fame Champions Weekend, the Badger teams of 1993, 98, and 99 gathered here in town this weekend, a reception last night, and all in attendance for today's game. Chris McIntosh, of course, a big part of the 98 and 99 teams. When you think of those teams, Mac, beyond the obvious, he raised trophies and did something no other Big Ten team's ever done and win back-to-back Rose Bowls. What do you think? What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of those days as a Badger?
Well, obviously, you know, there's some historic moments and celebrations and huge wins. But really what comes to mind for me is the bond and the togetherness that those teams had. And with each other, with the coaches, this mentality of it's just us. And, you know, every one of those teams, whether it was during the season like it was for us in 99 or in the seasons that led up to those successful years, battled adversity. And there were moments in which it didn't look pretty, and it, you know, optimism wasn't at an all-time high, but it was those guys, those coaches, those people that came together and found a way. And I think that's the thing. You know, when you go through something like that with teammates and coaches, it creates a bond and a friendship that's lifelong.
Interesting to hear you say that, because when I've talked with players here, athletes, and specific to the sports I'm around the most, football and men's basketball and Major League Baseball as well, the moments on the field are obvious, but it's the stories, it's the off field, outside of practice. Those are probably the things that stick with all you guys forever.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the moments have huge implications, and it's moments of struggle and it's moments of triumph, and it's, you know, moments of doubt, and it's people coming together and supporting each other to get through that. And I don't know that you can really relish in the good times and the success properly without going through some of those moments.
Yeah, it's great to see all those guys back. A lot of tremendous memories, stories shared, some of which may actually be true. But for Badger fans, who you rattle off all the names, and Badger fans will remember where they were when certain moments of greatness happened. He's Chris McIntosh, and that is this week's Moment with Mac.
Well, thank you, Matt. Still to come, we'll check around the Big Ten. We'll visit with Jesse Temple from Badger Connect. And up next, our Badgers in the NFL segment, brought to you by Cunis Auto RV Group. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we take a break, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 for an ID. This is Wisconsin Football.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Well, we will get you caught up around the Big Ten and the top 25 in a bit. But coming up next, it's our Badgers in the NFL segment, brought to you by Cunis Auto RV Group. That's next. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin,
so we want all our fellow